Amen. The gospel lesson today, as I mentioned, comes from the gospel of Matthew. It's a need for daily bread. We all have it. Each of us have a need. We could not live without those things being given to us. Jesus recognizes that very thing, and that we notice, too, when Luther makes the point that God gives daily bread even to those people who do not know him and could care less. You see, in our society today, there's a great many people that don't realize it, but everything they have and everything they have received from the hand of the Almighty God. And Luther explains all the things that includes it, clothing and shoes, meat, drink, house, home, all those kind of things that each of us have. Clearly, the disciples in our text know they have need for material things. You do too in your life. You need money in this society. You need automobiles. You need a home, place to live. You see, God gives those to you freely even before the thought of you even asking it is on your heart. He is already doing that. And you and I, with thanksgiving, receive the gifts that God has given to us. The worldly, not just the rich, but the worldly, they take God for granted. Never give him a thought for returning anything to him. And as a matter of fact, they don't even think about God giving them anything, and yet graciously he does that. More importantly, we know that God has done something else in our daily bread, and that is he's given us his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins, all of them, those that we know and then those that we don't know. The question comes up then is, what do you do with the gifts that God has given to you? Each and every one of us have varying amounts of gifts that God has given. Your bank account doesn't look like mine, thank goodness. Your assets are not the same as I have. Maybe I have more than some of you have. It doesn't. God gives to one family a big house, to another family doesn't. Some people get three car garages. I can't get a car in the garage as I have. Got too much junk. Way too much junk. How will I use what God has given to me? And that's the big question that we bring today. You know, I'm going to tell you about Matthew's gospel. It's something I want you to take away today. Jesus died in about the year 30 AD. He was 33 years old when he died on the cross. It appears that Matthew wrote his gospel within 15 years of the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus, and his ascension as well. 15 years. It's a short time. Many people place it way on back, but good scholarship now tells us that Matthew wrote his gospel early. And he wrote it for a very important reason. It was a catechism. Now, I know we have Luther's small catechism. We have Luther's large catechism. But Matthew is the catechism for the entire church. And people who did not know about Jesus would go through confirmation class, like Amy and I did, and others. You've been through it. And he would take the people through it, and as Matthew would be read to the class, it wouldn't be in a safe environment, like a back room somewhere where you're teaching a class. It was a dangerous time, because the Jews began to really hate Christians and began to persecute them. So when Matthew begins to write these things, he wants you to understand what happens in that reality. One of the things that we've noticed here is that people don't have a real value of the gifts that God gives to us. Now, you know, after, I'll give you a couple of examples they'll show you about Matthew being in catechism. You remember when Herod tried to kill the baby Jesus. And so the angel appeared to Joseph and said, get out of here. You need to go to Egypt. Flee. Get away from here because Herod is seeking to kill the child. So he up and goes. And he leaves, and he's gone for a period of time. He learns, however, that Herod now has died and he's returning. Matthew calls it this. He says, this is showing us that out of Egypt I have called my son. Now, at first, that's a strange thing to see in the Testament. What does he mean, out of Egypt I've called my son? Well, his sons were the people of God who he called out of Egypt to be his people in the Holy Land. And they had to go through the wilderness, 40 days, 40 years. And so Jesus was led into temptation, 40 days. And we're without food. Think about 40 years in the wilderness. I did a little calculation for you. You can load a tractor trailer, a semi-tractor trailer load. You can load it up to 120,000 pounds. It's a heavy load, normally 80 to 120,000 pounds. If you got 4 million people in the desert, I calculated that out to see how much that would be. You would have to have 33 truckloads, semi-loads, every day to feed 4 million people. Everybody gets a pound. Some of us feel we eat more than that. That means that Kroger would send 11 semis out there, HEB would send 11 semis out there, and then Randall's would send 11 semis out in the wilderness in order to feed 4 million people. And God does it every day for 40 years. You know what they had to pray for? Daily bread. Every day they went out. And even without their prayers, God provided manna for them. They didn't know what it was. And that's what the word in Hebrew means, manna. What is it? They didn't know. And God had given them manna in order to feed them. 33 truckloads of food every day for 40 years. Can you imagine? And yet God did not one day miss. The only days he missed, of course, we told him in the Sabbath, you weren't going to get it. Double up. Double up. Get you an extra load on that day. But you can't save your daily bread. You depend on it each and every day. And that's why if you took 2 days, the day rotted, the food rotted. Wouldn't that be the way that God would have us look at our daily bread, that the gifts he gives to us comes to us daily? We can't have tomorrow what we've got, just daily he gives it to us. Now when the scribes and Pharisees heard Matthew's gospel, oh, they were thinking, they would say, oh no, this is just physical needs that God's in. But to the catechumens who was reading this and understood Matthew, they were understanding that this is not just ordinary food. Because you see, Jesus had already said, man does not live by bread alone. Remember, that was a temptation. You remember Satan said, well, Jesus, you just turn these rocks here, these stones, into bread. And he said, no, man does not live by bread alone. And then in another place he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. In a wonderful book that I have, that one of my favorite professors at the seminary, this is a difficult book to read, by the way. You don't sit down and read it over a cup of coffee. You have to study it and take papers and pencils and notes. But Dr. Scare writes in the Discourses in Matthew's Gospel, what he tries to show is that these things that Matthew was writing was to a church that was under persecution. That the people who were reading and learning this catechism, learning about this, would one day face difficulty. there would be Jews coming to kill them. There would be armed forces coming after them. And yet he wanted them to know that they too would be taken care of. Do you remember the story about the lady who was the widow in Zarephath, and the prophet Elijah came, and the lady had a jar of oil and a small canister of flour, and Elijah said, you need to make me a bread out of that so that I might eat. And the woman says, this is really all I got. And what we were going to do, my son and I were going to sit there, I'm going to make one more cake, and my son and I are going to eat it, and we're going to die. Nevertheless, the woman did this. She took the canister of grain, the flour, and she mixed it with the oil that she had, prepared a meal for the prophet, and she would reason in her mind that if I take care of this prophet, God will have to take care of me and my son, because I have no other way of providing for us. And during that famine that was in the land, the grain never ran out. The oil never went dry. Today, you saw the presence of baptism in our service today. It looks like simple water. That's the thing. The grain and the oil look like simple things. But it was necessary for the proclamation, for Elijah to continue in his proclamation of the Word of God. So in the waters of holy baptism today, that is also daily bread. We pray that God would give to us daily bread in our baptism. And now he's going to feed us on the Lord's Supper, a wonderful meal that he's got prepared for us. And when the people of God were reading this and the catechumens were reading, they could see that Jesus was coming out of the wilderness, and they remembered the Passover and what that was all about. And then on the night of the Passover, later on in the gospel, the catechumens would begin to understand a little more that this bread that he speaks of is not just ordinary bread, but it includes the Word of God, the water of holy baptism, the Lord's Supper. Today he nourishes us with a small portion of bread and a small portion of wine. And each of us in our mouths receive that bread and we receive wine. But at the same time, we receive more than bread and more than wine. We are actually receiving the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, because in, with, and under those elements of bread and wine, Jesus is giving to us himself. Well, as the scriptures had said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth. And Jesus also said, unless your righteousness exceeds the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of God. In Jesus, the righteousness far exceeds the scribes and the Pharisees. It's a righteousness that our Lord Jesus is giving to us for our eternity. When you think of daily bread the next time we pray this prayer in a few minutes, think of it not just as a loaf of bread, not just as a few things to eat, but think of it as what God gives to us for our daily lives and for our eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.